Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. So no big surprise, I talk a lot. And now I can share some of the incredible people that cross my path and the interesting conversations that we have. Private Practice Secrets podcast is all about sharing our business experiences and harnessing our collective wisdom. My guests are amazing. They're bold, brave, and they're honest. There are many laughs, and surprisingly, there's frequent talk of wine. We're sure you're really going to enjoy these unplugged private practice chats. So settle in. Let's get the conversation started. Lisa Hughes, it is very lucky that we are very patient and persistent women. This is take two on our podcast. Goodness knows what tech fail went on with the first one, but welcome, 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 the founding director of Occupational Therapy Helping Children in Sydney.
Thank you, Kathy.
What are you up to? What's your day been like?
What's my day been like? Monday is a non-clinical day for me, so started very early, personal training at the gym, get it in first thing
now.
On a Monday morning.
Just stop now.
All the week deteriorates and other excuses come my way. Then I have, done staff supervision, 3 separate hours with 3 separate staff, and been to an in-service by one of them on the vestibular system, and then back in the office this afternoon.
And fair to say, we've both been wrangling technology for the last little while to get this conversation on the records once and for all. So I happen to know you've been in private practice for a very long time. You certainly are one of the pediatric pioneers. Take me back to 1994. What did it look like back then?
What did it look like? Well, in the area of Sydney that I work in, North Shore, Northern Beaches, where I lived, everyone was in public health and pretty well pediatric OT was run out of community health centres and people went there. That was what was available. There was one other lady, a South African OT up on the North Shore, but she had run private practice in South Africa, so had a bit of experience from that. So, yes, it was very brave. People looking at you going, you're going to charge for your services.
Shock horror, the greed of it.
Shock horror, you're going to promote your service, you're going to market your service.
Wow. How many in Sydney back then? 2 or 3?
Oh, not many. Yeah. Not really many at all, because that's why we rapidly grew to having 5 practices across Sydney.
Oh, gosh. What was the time frame on that?
Probably 5 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, it was a bit hectic.
How was that? Do you even remember it?
Yes. I remember how many times we moved and how many times we've set up practice, so... And remembered to enjoy it now that I don't do it. So, yes. I guess back then there were no Kathy Loves to hold your hand either and tell you what to do along the way. So,
well, I was in my own world of crazy in Melbourne doing very, very similar, perhaps a couple of years behind you. What did you know about management and business management back then?
Oh, nothing.
Hopefully more than me.
Nothing. I think I said before my husband was an accountant. Since we started, he did become a business coach and work with companies setting up business systems. So I did have that help behind me. I have to admit that probably got me going. Definitely you need that sort of background, because as OTs, we don't have any training in that area. So I think one thing I have done throughout running the business is I've learned to outsource. I'm very aware of what I can do and what I can't do.
What do you outsource nowadays?
Outsource now marketing, IT, and a typist. Oh, and a graphic designer, yes.
Yep, good, good,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So they're the key ones that we regularly use.
Yeah, I'm always curious about the reluctance to outsource things. We seem to be so possessive about doing it ourselves and, well, I'd have to fix it anyway and I don't have time. I don't have time to teach somebody and... there's so much more of my life that I could so easily outsource.
Oh, yeah, I'm still waiting. When I can get the cooking, the shopping, all those domestics, they're the things that get me at the moment.
All jokes aside, there are personal concierge services that are willing to take those tasks off your hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, Kathy, we've been going so long, I've gone full circle on so many things. And I think that's you've just got to constantly be assessing what you're doing and are there better ways of doing things. And I've certainly done that. Oh, I'm sick of showing people what to do. I'll just do it myself. And this year I've had another change of taking on a new practice manager and, having someone competent working alongside that I've been able to hand so much more over to. And
I was very excited to hear that piece of news. But before we get all kind of dosed up on the wonders of a practice manager, take me through the front door. Tell me about the premises that you've got and who's under your roof at the moment. I just keep seeing you've got new staff.
Yes, that's right. Three newies at once.
Tell me about who's in the team at the moment and
okay, so as I mentioned, we did have five practices and then with one thing or another and a lot of the moving's been to do with council knockdowns, rezoning of places in Sydney and
landlords changing their minds.
Many things along that, and now we are looking again, which is only... all happened since I last spoke to you last week, at another major move at our Lynfield clinic because they're doing a big redevelopment there and putting in parking. So that's the next big decision. So things always just fly into your basket that you're not expecting. So up at our Lynfield clinic, we sublet a room from Lynfield Speech Pathology and Learning Centre with Devon Barnes. And up there I have two OTs working out of there. It's a six-day-a-week practice. There'd be clients there to go 7 days if we would do it. It's crazy. Quite a different... Well, again, in 20 years, the population has totally changed. So now we've got a lot of people who don't take rest days up there and don't do weekends. So we don't work like that, though. So that one is busy up there. We've got paediatricians, psychologists and the speech pathologists that we work really closely with. And then down at Balgala, I have four OTs working with us down there. We've got more space and we also go out. We have a school service from going out from there as well. So this year, changing the role a little bit in that, again, done the full circle on going
change our friends,
coming back to clinics, what's working. But I guess, competitors are getting out there and going into schools with no overheads, no nothing. So we've sort of had to jump on the bandwagon on that one again, and also using it for our Lynfield clinic. It's full. We can only have one therapist working there at a time. So we're sort of looking at that to juggle to see more clients as well by if we could see some at school.
What's your percentage of clinic-based services and community?
Ooh.
Know your numbers.
I should know my numbers. Well, let's say, probably 25% in school. I've got one therapist who works full-time in schools, so 5 days a week.
And what's the vibe with schools up in your neck of the woods? Are they really happy to have you on site? Oh, gosh, I can hear the upside.
Schools in Sydney seem to be all over the place at the moment. And I'm talking like our three major systems. You've got your independent schools, your Catholic schools, and your public schools. Even within the public schools, there doesn't seem to be...
Seems inconsistent.
...rules. Catholic schools, they're tightening up. We must pay rent. We must do this. Want to see all our policies and documents. One of the public schools, I can go in, went for a case meeting, but I cannot enter the school till I've done my anaphylactic training and a whole sort of online course working with children check. And then, as you know, we go into quite a prestigious private school in Sydney and they have no regulations whatsoever.
Yeah. Isn't it fascinating? I mean, if it helps at all, you're not alone. I've heard that exact story in pretty much every state, I think.
Oh, and then, yes, I went and did... one school I went into, so that's a small Catholic school, can go in for a one-off class consultation, which I did. They do not have regular therapists going in. So, it seems to be a rule unto itself.
Exactly right. It's at the discretion of the principal, and the principal determines the policy. Yeah, which is Completely understandable. I understand that the schools have been inundated, might be their words, by allied health professionals, particularly on the back of NDIS funding. But there's got to be a really good answer in there. And I was really interested today to read the results of the latest round of NDIS-funded projects. And there are a good handful of projects that are to work out, is to look at building partnerships with schools, with kids with different needs, like a good handful, three or four, with really, really hefty amounts of money. And I did a little happy dance because, you know, it's work in progress, that school piece.
Oh, it's just crazy. It is crazy. Yeah. The inconsistency is crazy as well.
It makes it really hard for parents at the end of the day, particularly working parents, particularly kids with high and complex and long-term needs. It's another appointment to find out a school, and then the parents are the messenger and trying to coordinate.
Yeah, I mean, I see it as two ways. I mean, I've got some parents I think school therapy is just too easy for. It's easy, I'll just pay for this, it gets done, keeps my kids' teacher happy and I don't need to do anything about it, which we all know if the parents don't put in the effort at home, we don't see the improvement. But then for others, it's more convenient. You know, like if they come to the clinic, they're more involved in the therapy and they've got more of an interest in it. So that's a good one. But we've got another private school up here that they've just stopped all children coming out outside school hours, and I'm talking even they have like a transition, so from 4 years on no children can come out during school hours. Well, it's like we pretty well have a policy we don't see four-year-olds after school. That's a you know, that's just prime time for school kids, so it pretty well makes it impossible. And as you would know, being a business owner, you can't run a business from 4 to 6 in the afternoon.
No. Well, unfortunately, despite our best efforts, we can't solve all of that in this podcast conversation. So let's just park that and monitor, and we'll continue to talk about that off the airwaves.
Yes.
Take me back to your team. I actually lost count.
Have you got seven? So how many? Oh, no, I've lost count.
Seven?
There's six of us at the moment.
Okay. And tell me about your thinking. What got you over the line in engaging a practice manager?
Things change. So last year I was doing it all myself and spending time on the weekend putting client data into three databases, and it was driving me insane. So this year was going to be the year of change. And what sort of got it all moving was our practice manager of 20 years resigned, which was sad, but it really made me realise you need new energy and you need new enthusiasm. And she did a great job initially and she was great and all that sort of thing, but I think she would have been quite resistive to the changes, whereas now, it's just having positive people around you, that team, having the right people.
Sometimes it's also a bit about that delegating and that outsource. You don't know what you don't know. And so to bring someone in who says, oh, my gosh, you are so doing it the hard way, bang, 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 bang. Is that what's happened?
Even for me personally, when my previous person started, like I was in my 20s. I wish I was still in my 20s, but just even so the whole mechanics around that, just that whole age difference, whereas now I'm older than my practice manager. Like for me, the whole dynamics is different.
Wow.
And I haven't had the added bonus was, I'm pretty good on all this accounting, but my sister's the accountant. So having a new person looking at my books and going, why are you paying, you know, like just questioning all the finances and you're paying too much for this and, you know, all that stuff, having an ownership around all that and being reported to first of all.
Yeah, you build up a habit and a tolerance to those things. Well, that's just
absolutely,
Kathy. That's what it always comes.
Honestly, the profit and loss used to get printed at and put on Wayne's desk because he's my husband, because he's the accountant. I never, ever, you know, like there were things like that.
There are words I never want to hear you say again.
I know.
Are you in there now?
Have like that, again, as you say, you put up with them until you change them. So it's been a real eye-opener and it's great. It's given me a whole new burst of life and enthusiasm. So, yes, staff, right staff are definitely a key.
And changing staff at the right time. Obviously, there's some really natural things that happen and that's all good. But, yeah, oh, good, I'm hearing some energy in the room.
Yeah, there's energy. Cool. There's more energy than where I was 12 months ago, that's for sure.
Nice, nice.
And that is because of new staff. Yeah. And I think I've changed. Well, yeah, you get new staff, you get people who are enthusiastic and, yeah, you move with them.
Things. Now, one thing I did hear a couple of minutes ago was this phrase, putting data into three databases. So whilst I really don't want to know all the details, I am curious to hear what you're using practice management system-wise at the moment.
We are using HealthKit. Woo-hoo. Which we changed to on the 1st of March after spending about 12 months, as you know, yeah. trying to decide what to use.
How's it going?
We are not quite up to doing online notes yet, but we'll get there. But in terms of accounting systems and managing, we have all our credit card clients' details in HealthKit. It just gets billed at the end of the day, unless it's, you know, Faxia or NDIS or whatever. And at the end of the session or end of the day, all their receipts are just emailed out to them. So it's swift, don't need admin help in the clinic, easy. And then if there's a problem, then we shoot to our practice manager, sort this out.
What has that done for cash flow?
Well, that was what I was going to say. I look now and go, how come there's money in this account?
Wow. And
the account, yeah, I know. After being, you know, watching. And we've also changed to weekly billing from monthly billing. And so we've totally changed that system this year. And wow, what a difference. It's unbelievable. I can sleep at night again.
Gosh. So cash flow has improved by.
The debtors have gone, Kathy.
Yeah, debtors are gone. Weekly billing, automated billing.
Yeah, well, we're not quite automated. But, you know, like today, you know, it was the age-old credit card of one of my clients that they had a fraud thing and changed. But you know straight away because you're trying to put it through weekly and before they rack up this, you know, $1,000 bill, you're on top of it.
Wow, well done. High five. So it's through the screen.
Yeah. That's
super. What I know you've onboarded new clinicians and a practice manager. Tell me what state your policies and procedures are in right now.
Yeah, pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Because we had new staff come on, that has, I mean, and the thing with policies and procedures, it's quite frightening how quickly they get outdated. But because we changed to HealthKit, NDIS, we've got, you know, extra Medicare things with HealthKit, and we had new staff. So it really gave me the impetus to just make sure they're all up and running. So they are good. There's things now I still need. Performance appraisals need to be fine-tuned and looked at. But, yeah, so staff policies and procedures good.
Oh, wow. That is such a good feeling. So whilst in my experience they're never, ever done because they shouldn't be ever, ever finalised. They should be emerging and growing. But it's a very proud moment when you feel very confident that what you've got is good and correct and on time.
They look pretty. Whether they read them or not, I still find I get asked the questions that are there clearly laid out. But anyway.
Well, that's about implementation. It's one thing to have them, but you've then got to kind of push it down through the team how they're used.
Yes, that's right.
That can be a nice little challenge for you. Remind me, have you got employees or contractors?
Oh, big question. I have contractors are all contractors, and then I have casual employees.
Aha. And how does that work?
Yeah, no, it works well. It's taken a lot of legal advice to get it there and to get it, yeah, so it's legally sound. So, but I would say that to anyone, that's the sort of thing you need to spend the money on and make sure it's sound in case there's any disputes over that. So, yeah, so our girls are casual employees. So basically that works with pediatrics because they're clocking on and clocking off and, you know, if someone is sick for the afternoon, they don't then sit there for 2 hours at their desk, they can go home. So the hours vary around that, around their timetable.
You as the employer, I guess, get the flexibility around school holidays and public holidays and school in services, but you can also sort of pre-plan the workload and pre-plan where everybody has to be. But it's got a lot more security, I guess, than independent contractors. From a legal point of view, that you really know exactly who you've got and what you've got and what you're going to pay them and what their work's going to be.
And it pretty well, I mean, it doesn't, and I was talking to you previously about paying extra over holidays. So it gives them a lot of flexibility in, you know, like with holidays coming up, we will run holiday groups. I'll say to them, if you want to take time off, when are you going? What do you want to do? Put it in your schedule now. So they get that flexibility around it. And then we work around and, yeah, put in the assessments and everything else around what we need in the holidays.
Are you guys really busy during the holidays?
Yes and no. We do our groups to try and be busy because we've still got to pay our rent. It just depends. And we only do our holiday groups now in January and July. In July, some of our kids have an extra week holiday, and we've changed the format of our groups too. I found in April and October, particularly after term one, I don't know whether it's more about the kids being tired or the parents being tired or just needing to be out of routine and structure and chill a bit rather than going to all these therapy appointments.
Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised that some businesses really, really nail this holiday period. And for a couple of my clients, it's the busiest time for them. Mm. And I'm still drilling down into the secret sauce for that. I've got a few ideas and the groups are part of it. But I got this hunch that there's also this group of clients, of little people who come in for checkups and come in for program and what do we do next? And some children are also coming in for intensive 3 and 5 day a week.
Yeah. So we market all those things before the holidays. You know, we do an email blast out. So all those things are targeted. You know, the groups are on. If this doesn't suit your child, this might be an option. We do have, you know, children whose parents just can't commit to regular therapy. So they might bring them in for several times during the holidays. Yeah. Good time for older high school kids to come in with their hectic schedules.
Yeah. Do you think the uptake of holiday services is going to change with the NDIS?
Probably not at our practice, Kathy, because we're not going to be a fully funded NDIS practice.
I must say that's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Hard to say at this stage. I mean, most of our NDIS, I mean, we've got a few on the portal, but most of our clients will be self-managed. If not this year, they will be in the future. But it's definitely not going to be, you know, like 50%. It'll be more, it'd be definitely under 25% will be NDIS clients.
Yeah. It's good to have a little bit of a diverse range of referrals and income streams and things like that. What's your view, if we sort of step back a bit, what's your view on the NDIS as a whole and as a social piece of legislation? I've never asked you this.
Yeah, no, I think it's the whole idea behind it is fantastic. I think, it just rolled out without the infrastructure. So I guess now as therapists, I mean, it rolled out in our area on the 1st of July. So pretty well all our clients who are in the system or some sort of system are rolling over. A lot of them are appealing now, though, and it's now that we're getting hit. We are so snowed under with people wanting reports. They didn't get them initially, but they want them now, like to go back and get more funding. So, and all of that's really grey about what's needed and depending on who their planner is. So still lots of teething things that have got to be sorted out.
So this is in time for their annual review?
No. This is, they've done their application, funding's come through, not happy with what they've got.
Okay, got it.
So they're appealing. So
we're
only like in the first 1 or 2 months of starting people on plans.
Okay, got it. Oh, goodness. Well,
a huge difference in range of funding being given.
Yes, you gave me an extraordinary example.
Yeah.
was, yes, literally a zero on the end difference. I've heard similar stories. So an equity issue that I was hoping that the NDS might solve has actually created other equity issues by the
looks of it. I know.
Oh, well. We'll work with it. My attitude is that we need to work with it and that everybody's got to do their bit to make it grow and evolve and be the remarkable, remarkable offer that it has the potential to be.
And having said that, Kathy, I've also got clients who have just, you know, fallen through the gaps of funding in the past, so who I've always sort of tried to go beyond to help them make sure they're using all their Medicare plans that they can. And, you know, so it's nice to actually see them get some funding and be able to use it as well.
Yeah, those families that have funded privately for a decade or so. Let's come back to your business for a bit. I'm hearing that it's got some NDIS and it's got school-based services, clinic-based services. What do you and your team do incredibly well?
What we do well, as I said, we've done the big thing. So now we like to think we are a boutique practice. We like to look after our parents. I think we go over and beyond, particularly with our mums. And, yeah, looking at the whole family. You know, we're seeing a client within a family group and the dynamics and how the family is coping, what support mum gets, what time out she's getting, particularly some of those kids with, you know, really challenging behaviours they're trying to deal with 24/7. So there's always time in the sessions to have a chat to mum and, you know, to encourage them, tell them they're doing a good job.
Yeah.
So, and I try to, as the business owner, I pretty well know most of the parents or have had some contact with them. So I know a bit of their background, particularly the, you know, the ones with more additional needs than, say, just handwriting.
Or a specific kind of skill-based stuff. Yeah. It's interesting that you say that about your, when you say it out loud, a couple of pennies dropped in my mind. Obviously, my mind is a little slow at times. But your commitment to families and parents is completely obvious on your website, and it's completely obvious on your social media posts as well. And what you've just done by saying that is completely crystallized the message that you work towards on social media. I would love you to share your strategy almost on Facebook and the sort of content that you put up, because it's just fabulous.
On my Facebook? The website, when the website was done, obviously we looked around at what was out there, and it was there was a lot of primary colours and a lot of information bombarding you. So we sort of went for the aim of, okay, well, I'm a mum. I've just been told that my child needs OT. I don't have a clue what that's all about, and I'm feeling really stressed about it. So we wanted to create a sense of calm when they came to our website, that this is the information. I took a lot of information off that. That's my third website I've done. So, a lot of the content went off, and it's good, you know, you get different ideas. You know, as therapists, we think we need all the techo jargon on there, and we've all done this.
Our medical model
in this.
Fighting to the forefront still.
Yeah, but really for a mum. So we took a lot of that off and just simplified it. So that would, yeah, this is what you need to do, and we can help you, and we'll talk you through it.
Wow. Very, very cool. Well, congratulations on that. I took a little look earlier and thought, yep, that's nice. It's enough. Do you know that expression, I am enough, or it is enough? Yeah, and just friendly and inviting. So share up your thinking about Facebook, because you are just prolific.
Oh, do you think? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I think when I came to my first PEDS biz, we'd hit 500 likes or something, so we're getting up there now. I have been using Meet Edgar since the beginning of the year.
How do you find it?
You'll see different things. Now, I've got that, but I'm trying at the moment just using Meet Edgar and our own stuff. I've kind of got it on pause because we've got new stuff and lots happening. So in terms of new content and blogs, that is now part of my staff's, they are told in their interview they will be writing blogs, and it's part of their job.
Is it working?
So we are now doing our quarterly marketing meetings, and at our staff meeting we have at the beginning of each term, everyone got a date. for when their blog is due. So that just comes in and it will get posted up. So website and then on Facebook. So there's another one coming this week. And so, yeah, we've got those on a two-weekly cycle, which means there's lots of new content coming. And then we are doing, yeah, we've started running courses for parents on sensory processing, and which really came out of, I'll talk about that in a bit, while changing our whole sort of looking and focusing on our assessment stream. So we've got sort of adverts on for what we're running ourselves, plus a bit of inspirational. And then Lucy, my graphic designer, loves getting on, and she's, you know, all the beautiful ones you'll see with our logo. She did Mother's Day and everything. That's all her bit of pizzazz that she loves to do. And
gotta have a bit of pizzazz.
Too. Yeah.
Gotta have the right amount. Oh, wow. Mm. What's your strategy behind the content that you post? What's your thinking?
Gosh, you want to see how many posts I've got saved? I think my thinking is, yes, promote the business, but I also like sharing new ideas. I personally get so much information off Facebook and all the groups and pages that I follow. So I think it's, yeah, you know, whether it's research or what's happening or what we're doing as a company, I think it's good to show that we're active, as you've talked about us socially, as well as I mean, that's where all the, I guess it's one of the major marketing tools.
Absolutely. Major marketplace. Mm.
So social media, big change since we started.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that lovely combination of the right amount of self-promotion, the right amount of blogging and information and gorgeous pizzazzy stuff and quotes and ideas, are you getting more likes and comments? Are your current clients kind of giving you some feedback about it?
Not really, and we should follow that up more. We do when we, you know, we're always, we've sort of done the signs in the clinic, and if we put an email out to parents, which we'll probably do at least twice a term, we will sort of remind them about our social media as well. But yes, no, you collect people from all around the world. But yes, we do, I mean, you do get some comments on it.
Yeah, well, that's often
an interesting one.
Yeah, it's an interesting sign to see who's commenting and about what and who might be sharing or not. And
yes,
the team can have a role in that as well if they've got access to it. Even as a
Yeah, I do have different team members on the admin panel at time. But yes, it's an interesting question. It's one Wayne questions me on. So you've got that many likes. How much is that transferring into business? And that's like, well, does it transfer into new clients?
Yes.
Or is it just keeping you there, up there in the forefront and reminding people about your service?
And what commercial value can you put on adding value to your current clients? That's got a commercial value, that they're not going somewhere else, that they're enjoying that aspect of it as well. Yeah, it's an interesting one. Look, it's always interesting to look at the metrics. And on Facebook, that Insight tab has got loads of really interesting stuff on there. And Meeting Edgar, your scheduling tool, will also give you some numbers. Should you be interested in taking a look?
I know. There's so much in Meet Edgar. I need a day a week, a while to make sure I'm using it all.
He's very, very cute. What else do you guys do by way of marketing?
Oh, well, I was going to say, to paint the picture of the old days when the pamphlets used to sit and the mail out material on the coffee table for a week, taking us, you know, by the time we, for groups and things, we'd do a massive mail out.
And did your daughter help you like mine did? Did you pay the slave labor to stuff the envelopes?
She was too little initially. We used to have, high school students coming. We used to actually have the largest mail account at our local post office.
Wow.
That's how much. I mean, people, it's so easy now to send an email to parents, but, you know, those were the days. Everything went out in the mail. So
what else? Back to your marketing. What else do you do nowadays?
What we do now?
Yeah.
Well, we've got an email system for parents, preschools, teachers, social, Facebook, obviously, Pinterest, and, I guess our website. are our main marketing things at the moment.
Knowing you,
competitions. We did the Easter egg counting competition. We had a colouring competition for Easter.
Oh, that used to be my favourite.
Yeah, we've done. Oh, we didn't do Mother's Day this year because it was a bit close to Easter. But we will do. And I guess that's the give back to the clients too.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you mention something very exciting a little way back in the conversation about a quarterly marketing meeting.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, knowing you, that you're sort of forward projecting, forward planning your social media content, forward planning newsletter content, even forward planning any meet and greets and coffee meetings with sort of referrers. Is that me getting overexcited, or am I just spot on?
Slightly overexcited. It is a very new thing. It's taken me 22 years to do, but I have printed a calendar, and yes, it will be getting just putting dates out there ahead.
It makes such a difference. It makes you feel like such a boss lady.
Well, I want the dates there because then Robin, my practice manager, like it's sitting down with her, but then she can drive it all. Like a lot of, you know, the tedious, I need this by then, I want this Facebook post done, your blog's due.
Yep.
I don't need to have anything to do with it.
Well, you've got to be the architect.
I've got to be the architect and say, yes, we're going to run groups here, but, you know, in terms of I need that change on the website by then and, you know, just all that directing.
What bliss. What bliss.
Yeah.
Well deserved, well deserved. 23 years you've been in business?
23 years.
And remind me again how many therapists in that time?
Oh, what did I say?
It was 65 last time. Oh, my gosh. So you've done your fair share of interviewing and
super. I've done my fair share. Yeah, but even having said that, I had Kate Schreck help me again for these three.
Oh,
so
did she?
It doesn't matter how many times you do things. You've just got to always reposition, rethink. Haven't got all the answers, that's for sure.
Maybe always quickly. Explain who Kate is. She's been on the podcast, but give her 30 seconds of...
Oh, Kate Schreck is an amazingly funny lady who works in customer service. So I had a very quick turnover of staff and got onto Kate and went, help, where do I start? So she sort of used me as a bit of a protocol to get some procedures in place for employing people, gave me some good, interesting questions to ask to discern certain things about character people. So, yeah, no, it was good.
And I'll add it in the show notes. Her business is Lightbulb Training Solutions.
Lightbulb Training Solutions.
Yep. So while she's based in Victoria, she has a bit of a national reach. Mm. Oh, that's good. I'm delighted that that was helpful. Well done, well done, well done.
And just her whole thing on customer service, I think that was one thing with Rob and my practice manager coming on, and you will meet her, but she's like one of those absolutely lovely, nice people. And when I get calls about, they wouldn't, you know, put my claim through at this health fund, I find it really hard to keep the polite on, like, this is really a waste of my time. I really don't need to deal with this because they gave you a hard time. Robin can just smile and wave through all that. And I think that's helped our customer service a lot.
23 years in, you're getting a bit cranky, are you, Lisa?
Yeah, with health funds and Medicare. I always say to them, do you realise our parents are really stressed? They don't need to stand in a queue for half an hour then to be told they can't claim. Particularly when I know when I ring the provider relation person, they'll go, no, that's not true, and they'll totally agree with what I say.
Oh, I know. You're really out there guiding and partnering with parents. I can just hear it coming through in so many ways about what you've said. Let's just kind of dive back into the business a little bit. Tell me about some of your biggest struggles and darkest moments.
Darkest moments.
I know you've had some.
I have, yes, made every mistake in the book. Probably staff has been the hardest one for me. And I've come a long way with that. I know way back in the early days someone would resign and I would take it totally personally and think they don't like me as a person and move on, and I'd probably shed a few tears. So I've...
A glass of wine?
A glass. Multiple. But, yeah, I guess now... we're smaller now, so I'm much more in tune with what everyone's doing, their movements. You know, I'm supervising everyone once a fortnight, so I get my Robin will do. I have her go out and meet with the staff too, just even just to have a coffee and a bit more of a chat about where they're up to personally. So that helps. And I think, yeah, last staff, you know, it's a mutual thing. It's time to move on. Or, you know, one of my last ones, she's like, yep, she's, you know, moving out of OT altogether. But I had picked up, you know, 6-9 months ago that she didn't have the passion for it. So, you know, it's a mutual thing. That's good. It works well.
Given the roller coaster of staff and recruiting and onboarding and growing and releasing staff, what's it taught you?
I think it's taught me it will always work out.
Tell me
you
more
might
about
spend
that.
A sleepless night worrying, you know, all the logistics of it. And as you know, staff is very interesting at the moment. There's just so many jobs out there. And as you know, I got caught last year for 3 months without a staff member. But Leona, who's joined my team, is well and truly making up for it. So, and that's, you know, brought new energy in. So it's great. So whatever happens, you know, you might lose some clients along the way, but you will gain some. And even though you think when someone resigns, they're your pinnacle and the be all and end all, yeah, it all works out. Someone new comes along and you change your marketing shift and you promote them, and clear communication with clients, I think, about what's happening with staff changes is really important. And wherever, we always try and do like a full week's handover too.
Yeah.
Between staff.
Yeah. As my dad said to me, he still says to me actually, he says, you can only do your best.
Mm.
Yeah. Private practice feels a bit relentless. Let's maybe go on to some of the last sort of questions then. If we're sitting possibly having a glass of wine this time next year, what will you be telling me about your business?
This time next year?
Yeah.
I've still got the same staff.
Ooh,
and
good.
We will have moved clinics at Lynfield. So that one's in the debate, whether we're going to stay in a multidisciplinary setting or whether we're going to go out on our own. So that's lots of decisions to make at the moment. And we'll be doing more parent workshops, different groups, more teacher workshops, and probably more, yeah, lots more education out in the community, I think.
Ooh, that's exciting. Mm. That's good. That's such a beautiful adjunct to supporting the parents that you work with. And it's also a little bit of skill diversification for your clinical team too.
Mm. Well, that's the thing. Yeah. So trying to work with the staff, and I mean, these sensory processing workshops for parents, I pretty well turn up on the night because Leona has developed the whole thing. She has done it before in the UK. She worked with the graphic designer. It's all done. I get, you know, I've done the marketing and get the flyers done, but really I turn up on the night and it's fabulous. So that's been a project of hers, and I think that's really important to encourage your staff to have their own little projects and things that they want to do.
Yeah, fully agree.
Yeah.
Good to have some things on the boil outside the one-on-one face-to-face.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And, I've, you know, I say that to the girl. That's why we are in private practice, why I'm still in private practice is, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Let's run with it rather than having someone go, no. Oh, well, that'll have to go, you know, via Joe Blogs and, you know, through all the bureaucracy and never happen.
I'm completely unemployable at this stage. Mm. Couldn't do it. Okay, so this time next year, there's going to be a shift in rooms. You might be on your own. You might be in a team. You're going to have the same crew. And
I'm going to travel. That's the other plan for next year. Courses overseas.
Ooh, very cool.
So this is my last official year as a school mum, so I'm ticking the boxes.
Wow.
And I'm very much setting the scene. Honey, you're on your own next year. No more making lunches, getting up early.
Oh, it's quite remarkable, the transition to not being a school mum.
Yeah.
Quite remarkable. It's particularly the morning routine. You just lose all of your anchors.
Funny now, though. I'm sure I'll do. I've got so used to, because this year Savannah has 4 7:30 starts and her school is like 45 minutes from home. So I've got so used to being up at 5:30 anyway that I'm sure next year I'm still going to do it because I love getting into work early
yeah.
and having the whole day planned. So
So the next 12 months are sounding amazing. People, lots more education for parents and teachers. Now I'm hearing that you're dusting off the passport and you're getting out to do some training. That's probably a whole different conversation in terms of what you're going to be doing. Anything else? Any other little gems that are sitting in the next plan, in the plan
for I don't plan that far ahead.
Oh, okay. We'll move on. Silly question.
We'll move on.
Given that you're a bit of a pioneer in the private practice space, have you got three pearls of wisdom for somebody who's kind of a couple of years in and wondering if it was one of their sanest decisions? Three pearls.
Use Kathy Love.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, definitely. Honestly, that would be one of the things, like, get involved in Peds Biz. I cannot tell people, like, there's no technology, there's no nothing, you know, there was no Skype, no emails. I mean, you got on the phone. That was the only way. I guess, yes, I talked.
Build a tribe. Build a support tribe.
You had your referrals out there.
Move on. What's the next one?
Have your support group of therapists and business support. That would definitely be one.
Okay, it's one. You've got two more pearls.
And the business, just on that, it doesn't need to be in your neighbourhood, as you well know. I don't have business support around me. You know, it can be all around Australia, which is fantastic. Yeah, just keep trying different things. Don't give up. Reinvent. Don't get stuck in systems. If it's not working, it's not working, and there's got to be a better way of doing it. And, yeah, really look at your time efficiency.
Wise
words. The other one, my pearl, which I haven't sold, is look at your report writing procedures.
Is that a hot issue at the moment?
Oh, it's got to be solved. I mean, I haven't solved it in 23 years. It's hot on the agenda.
Well, let's take that one offline as well. That's a whole separate podcast.
Oh, yeah, I will.
I am of the belief that we write far too many reports.
Oh, it's ridiculous, Kathy. It is the one thing I would say to someone, handle it early, because I haven't handled it yet.
Minimise the report
writing. I am not going to retire with the report writing hanging over my head every weekend.
That's not going to be good for any of us. All righty. I give my podcast guests the chance to ask me a question. And I'm sitting here, you probably can't see, I've actually got my fingers crossed. Is there anything that you want to ask me that I've actually got the hope of asking?
Okay. My question back to you is, what would you do differently now if you had your private, if you were back in private practice?
So is the question about what I would do
Knowledge now, or from what you did, and what would you change now?
Okay, if I was going into business, I would definitely work with a mentor. I had two formal mentors at really critical times, and I worked with a life coach during the process of the sale of my business. So for me, having an external frontal lobe is a really, really good thing, because my frontal lobe, I don't know, it just doesn't always connect. So that would be something. I would also really, really heavily invest in software and IT that gives me the automation that I would need and that my team needs to get all the sticky admin stuff done so that I'm free to be creative and talk to people and meet and design new products and support my crew. The amount of time I've spent clicking and copying and pasting and, oh my gosh, got my head on the desk as I say it. So I would go really heavy on automation.
Yeah.
And sitting in that would be the practice management software and really heavy automation. And then what else would I do? I would probably engage a marketing consultant, actually. Not all the time, not full time, but to really help me look at a year ahead and to really maximise the opportunities that I had and to really maximise creativity of my crew as well. And rather than get sort of stuck in the one-on-one and the same old Monday and the same old Tuesdays, to really look at what else we could be doing.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That's one area. Like, I find, yeah, if you get someone in, they're pretty well rehashing all the stuff I've done before. But
so
when you find someone who's linked in who understands allied health, let me know.
Okay, well, I might be able to let you, introduce you sooner rather than later. I've got a few plates spinning on that front. Speaking of spinning plates, I don't know about you, but it's dusk is falling where I am. We should probably pull this one home.
All right, no problem.
Thank you, thank you. You are lively and funny and generous and such an advocate for that private sector and OTs out there doing their best stuff. So for each of your 23 years, pat on the back for me. Well done.
Thank you. Yes, it's a hard journey, but no, it's good. All good. A learning curve.
Vertical learning curve.
Learning curve. But I've grown professionally. I think that's what I like. You can go in whatever direction you want to take it. And as I said, last year of motherhood, I'm ready to take off again now.
Oh, dying to know your agenda. You can tell me later. All right, have a lovely, lovely rest of the day. Thank you.
Will
do. Thank you, Lisa Hughes, for all your time and pearls of wisdom. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Okay. Thank you.
A big thank you for investing your time right through the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. We hope you really enjoyed the conversation. There's lots more just like it waiting for your listening ears. If you're running a private practice and keen for some more business know-how and confidence, head on over to my website, nakerconsulting.com.au. There you'll find business resources and inspiration. There's blogs, forms, templates. There's information about our conferences, workshops, web events, and more. While you're there, you're warmly invited to book yourself in for a free 30-minute coaching session. Let's find some solutions to your current business challenges. And yes, you are more than welcome to pick my brains. My business has a weird name, but it has a cool story. You can read about that when you're on the website, but let me spell it for you now. nacre.com.au. Thank you for listening to Private Practice Secrets. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.